this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Y'allitics. And welcome back to you, Whiteley. You've actually been out on the road working.
Yeah, glad you've been working hard.
I've been holding down the fort, as they say.
Sent me to Austin by myself. Listen, the legislature is off and going here. And on this episode, we have two of the most vocal people at the Texas Capitol. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the House Democratic Chair, State Representative Gene Wu from Houston.
Who see things very differently in the world.
Very differently. But they're not afraid to tell you what they think about these things.
Right. It was a momentous week, too, because we got a brand new Speaker of the House here in Texas. A lot of people, you know, gloss over when they hear that. They don't quite, you know, care about that or know what it means. Yeah. But it is significant.
It's the third most powerful position in the state of Texas. This person is equal to, you know, essentially speaking, the lieutenant governor, the governor. This person is in charge of getting bills passed, bills that, you know, become law that we all have to follow.
But we start off with what is arguably the most powerful politician in Texas politics, and that is the lieutenant governor. A lot of people think governor. The lieutenant governor is the one who has a lot of sway.
Yeah, the lieutenant governor decides what is passed in the Senate and is very influential, as you said. But one of the questions before we get to the lieutenant governor here in just a moment, you know, you were talking about the brand new speaker. It's Dustin Burroughs, a Republican from Lubbock. One of the questions we had is, you know, Dan Patrick, lieutenant governor, your last relationship with the House leader, Speaker Dade Phelan, I don't know how you describe it, but it was frosty.
Not great.
Frosty at best.
Yeah, I was going to say not great. Yeah. And that's probably the nicest way of putting
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So everyone's wondering now, with this brand new speaker, what do things look like? Are you going to work together to get things passed? Patrick says he has a list of things. This isn't, you may have seen the list in the news. You may have seen it in our coverage, but he's giving us specifics. A lot of red meat here from the lieutenant governor. Take a look.
Governor, thank you for the time.
Sure.
We're off and going here. What do you expect the first bill to be to pass the Texas Senate?
School choice.
How soon?
As soon as the governor puts it on the emergency list, because the Constitution says we cannot pass bills until the 60th day, which would be mid-March. But emergency items, we can pass immediately. So he'll have a number of emergency items, and I believe school choice will be one of those. We've passed it, Jason, five times or more out of the Senate since 2015. It's time that parents have a right for school choice. And for anyone watching that says, yeah, but it's gonna undermine public education, just keep these numbers in mind. The budget for public education is about $40 billion. The budget for school choice is about $700 million.
Yeah.
Public schools have 5.5 million kids. School choice will be for about 60,000 students. Students who have disabilities the schools cannot address, students in failing schools that need help, and even students that may be in performing schools, but maybe they're being bullied, or maybe there's something happening and there's just not a match. Every parent deserves a right to put their child in the right school. And nationally, where there's school choice in 33 states, the average is like 3% of parents, because most of our schools in Texas are good, as they are everywhere. They like their teachers, they like to be with their friends. It's these parents who really need help, and that's what it's designed for. And the whole idea, we're undermining public education. Again, 5.5 million kids at $40 billion and 60-some thousand kids at $700 million. It's not even, it's laughable when they say that.
What do you expect a bill to look like, though? Universal?
Universal. We focus
how much money do you think?
Well, $700 million.
How much per voucher?
That is still being worked out. So it's really a math model. You know, if it's a little less, more kids, a little higher, less kids. You know, it works into the math. And I'll let Brandon Crane, who's carrying the bill, finalize that. But the idea that the Democrats push back on this when nearly 50% of Democrats polled want school choice, because a lot of our failing schools are in some of our bigger school districts and our bigger cities, and those parents want help. And that's why we have thousands waiting on the public school charter list. They want help. Again, most of our schools in Texas are just great, and our teachers are great. But when you have 9,000 campuses, 365,000 teachers, and 5.5 million kids, not every kid is going to fit every school, and not every school is great.
Are you concerned that there might be some private schools who say, I don't want to play, I don't want to get involved in all the accounting.
That's up to them.
How do you incentivize those? Because there might be some parents who want to send their kid to X private school in some city.
The whole idea of an education grant, which we would give to the parents, is they choose the school. There will be a list of schools that have been cleared by TEA, the Texas Education Agency. So there'll be a list for parents to choose from. And of course, if they have a new school, they can, you know, they can, if there's a new school or church school or somewhere that a parent wants to go to, they can ask for that if they have the grant.
Dan.
You guys have a $24 billion surplus,
yes.
The comptroller said. The rainy day fund is
yes.
full. You said you want to put some money, a lot of that money, to property tax relief again this session.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? How much could Texans potentially see in relief?
Well, what's really important, Jason, is that whatever we do, where we're spending money that has to be spent every year moving out, you have to be careful with that, because you don't want to get so far out that 4 years from now you have to come back and say, oh, we went too far. So we have to do it gradually. But so I came in 2015, the homestead exemption was 15,000. Now it's 100,000, 110. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take that to 140 this session, so another 40,000, we can afford that. And that will be our direction of where we'll go in the Senate, with a little bit of compression. There's some mechanisms written in our bills in the past to automatically do some things, but of new money, I want to take the exemption up to $40,000. It's real money to people. They understand that. Also, when you do a homestead exemption, that's voted on by the people in the Constitution, so you can't ever pull it back.
Okay.
But if it's compression, which brings down the school rate, that's not in the Constitution, so a future body could pull some of that back.
Let's talk about what happened with the Speaker of the House. Dustin
yeah.
Burroughs elected over there as the next Speaker
yes.
of the House. A lot of people see him as a continuation of Dade Phelan. Mm-hmm. Do you expect Burroughs to have an impact on any of your priorities?
I don't know. This is probably the first time in the history of the nation that the minority party chose the Speaker of the majority party, because he was elected by the majority of Democrats. David Cook, who is from the Arlington area, David Cook had the majority, about 60% of the Republican vote. But Dustin Burroughs got about 80% of the Democrat vote. So Dustin's plan was to get Democrats to elect him instead of Republicans, because he lost the Republican caucus vote. And that's something he said he would never support anyone else who did that. So here you have a state that just had sweeping Republican victories across the state, from the Supreme Court, Court of Criminal Appeals, Appeals Court, the first ever Republican senator from the Valley, more Republicans switching, Democrats switching parties and coming into our legislature, and Donald Trump wins the election by the largest number of votes by anyone ever elected in Texas. And we have the Democrats picking our speaker. It's just really unheard of. Can you imagine, we have 150 members in the House, can you imagine if 88 Democrats, if there were 88 Democrats instead of 88 Republicans
sure.
right now, that 88 Democrats would ever let the Republicans pick their speaker? And the answer is no.
Do you plan to meet with Speaker Burroughs?
Oh, of course. Look, he has told me, and I've worked with him in the past, he has told me that he's going to be the most conservative speaker ever. He's going to be put to the test, because we have passed bill after bill after bill. For example, we passed bail reform to keep murderers and rapists and child sex offenders off the street from getting bail. And the House has killed it every time. Is he going to pass it? Or is he going to let the Democrats kill it again? Because that's what Dade Phelan did. We passed to put the Ten Commandments back in our schools. We didn't even get a hearing on it. We passed a bill that said China can't buy all our Texas land. They killed that bill. We tried to stop CRT in our higher education. They killed that bill. I can give you a long list of bills, not just passed by Republicans, mind you, in the Senate, but bills that passed, we have 31 senators, bills that passed 26-5, bills that passed 31-0 died over there. So look, my main goal this past 2 years since the last session was that Dade Phelan wasn't back. He's not back. So that's a victory. Now, Dustin Burroughs, who was his right-hand man, is he going to be Dade 2.0 and let the Democrats run him? Or is he actually going to be a strong conservative speaker and pass these bills that the people of Texas, the majority, want to pass?
Are you concerned that Burroughs might stop school choice, stop bail reform again,
sure.
these bills
Absolutely.
That you pushed through?
I'm concerned.
You are?
Yeah, I am concerned, because he got elected by the majority of Democrats, and they don't want those bills to pass. They're very clear.
One more question about Burroughs. Attorney General Ken Paxton said he would primary any Republican. that voted against David Cook, who the caucus wanted there. Do you think anything should happen to those Republicans who voted for Burroughs?
Right now, Jason, I'm going to focus on session. Campaigning is later, okay? Let's see what happens this session. Okay, let's see what happens this session. If these bills die again, a lot of those people that voted for Burroughs will probably be challenged. They may be challenged anyway, but my focus is on the next 139 days. We have a lot to do. Look, we have to focus on our grid. We have to have more megawatts. With all the AI and the data centers and the crypto, look, we can be the number one leader in data centers and crypto mining, but they have to provide for their own power. We just can't let them suck all the power out of the grid. So we need, the projection is we need another 65,000 megawatts by the year 2030. We only have 85,000 now. That's like issue number one. Number two is water. We have to address the long-term water needs of this state. We have continuing funding, Jason, for example, for roads. Because when TxDOT plans roads, they plan them out 10 years. And in the past, they didn't have a steady stream of money. It was just up to each legislative session. So since I've been lieutenant governor, we created that. One of the first things we did. So we have a steady stream of money for roads so they can plan. We need that for water. We need these water projects just don't happen overnight. So we need a steady stream, and we need to put some money, significant money more. We put a couple of billion the last few years into water. We need affordable housing. We can't have cities that have these restrictions on lot size, for example. If there's some cities and I don't know the Dallas, I know other cities, Houston doesn't have restrictions, but some cities have restrictions on you have to have a certain size lot, which means your house has to be so expensive in essence. So we have to, there's nothing wrong with having smaller housing, smaller lot sizes. We have to rip off the regulations that's making it impossible. A police officer in Dallas can't afford a house in Dallas. A school teacher in Dallas can't afford a house in Dallas. So grid, water, affordable housing, three big issues for me. And the other two big issues, I want to fund, as we have for CPRIT, cancer prevention and research for the last decade, DPRIT, as I call it, to focus on research and prevention for dementia, Alzheimer's, which is under that umbrella. Almost every family you can talk to either has someone or knows someone, and that's a disease, Jason, that not only takes the memory of the past and the opportunities for the future away, but it also hits every family member. It's 24/7 care. It hits everyone, and so we're big enough. We have this surplus, so we can invest this one-time money, $3 billion, as we did with cancer research, and we've done great work in that area. In cancer, and so Texas can lead on that. So and then THC. I don't know if parents are focused on this or grandparents watching, but in the last 2 years, Jason, 8,000 locations have opened up that are selling above the marijuana limit, sometimes three or four times of the marijuana you would buy on the street from a drug dealer, and they're selling them as candy. They're selling them all types of products that you walk into these smoke shops, CBD, and that. We have a regulation, it's supposed to be 0.03, but they're putting, you can go into some of these stop and go type places, and you can buy a candy bar with 100 milligrams of THC. And these are bad actors who have taken advantage of the hemp law from 2019, I guess it was, or 2019, I think. This all started with Mitch McConnell when he did this nationally on hemp products, and so we have to stop this. And if you look at, for a lot of these 8,000 stores, they're around schools.
So what would happen to those 8,000 vape shops who say, listen, we rely on this?
You're gone.
Gone.
Out of business.
But why not?
You can do CBD. You can do CBD if you stay within the 0.03 and you look at the milligram. But all these other shops, they know exactly what they're doing. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And you know what, Jason? I really learned about this in the last 7 or 8 months. You know, we were here until December a year ago, so we didn't have much of an off time. But I started getting out around the state, and I had parents come up to me, you got to do something about this THC. It's all over our schools. There's no age restriction. I mean, you can't go and buy a pack of cigarettes, you can't buy booze, but you can buy this stuff, and which can get you hooked on drugs later. Not only that will hurt you now, and of course for adults too. We need to increase our CUP program, which is our compassionate use program. That's what CUP stands for.
That's a medical cannabis.
And so with cancer,
sure.
PTSD, children with epilepsy. So we need to have more of those locations, but these need to be shut down. I'm going to have a big fight on this, but
you
we need
so?
To do that. I'm not going to have a big fight with the members. I think it should pass unanimously. But there'll be a big fight out there because it's a billion-dollar industry that has sprung up in 24 months.
But why not regulate it then? If it's that much money, why not regulate it and require, require?
Well, we regulate liquor, for example.
Right.
We regulate pretty strict on that. That's a possibility. But I think the consensus of members and people I've talked to, it's get it out. Because basically, through the back door, they've legalized marijuana in the state of Texas.
Last question.
Pretty potent.
Indeed so. Last question,
yeah.
Governor. Do you expect any significant abortion legislation either to clarify current statute or to strengthen it?
So when Roe v. Wade was overturned, it went back to the original bills. Those bills were all passed by Democrats back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So it's very interesting. It just goes back to where they were. I do think that we need to clarify any language so that doctors are not in fear of being penalized if they think the life of the mother is at risk. I think it's clear, but I'm also open to the idea that some doctors don't see it that way, some hospitals don't think that way. We don't want to stand in the way of that, but we're not going to open it up so that abortion is prevalent again in the state, but no mother's life should be at risk. And so if there's clarity on that, I know we're working with some people on language to hopefully clarify that.
How about punishing women if they
get an abortion? We should never punish women, of course not. Those were a few people somewhere, that said that. Mm-hmm. They don't speak for Republicans, they don't speak for Americans. You're not going to punish women. That's ridiculous for that. Ridiculous.
That's the Lieutenant Governor there. You know, he has huge plans. Whether any of that actually happens depends on what happens in the House. Mm. And the brand
new... Which is a wild card.
It is a wild card. And the brand new leader of the House Speaker, almost said Dave Phelan.
Nope.
Dustin Burroughs, the new guy. He has Democrats to thank for electing him.
And this was seen as a setback for the, more far right flank
sure.
of the Republican Party here in Texas that he got it instead of Cook.
Yeah.
This went down to the wire first day. They had to figure out who it was going to be. It took a couple of ballots to get there. And of course, again, it took Democratic help to get Burroughs over the line here. Question is, what, if anything, can Democrats expect for helping?
Yeah, and that's a question we had for Gene Wu. Let's start with that. And, a lot of people have been saying, well, we don't want you to chair any more committees.
Because you're in the minority as Democrats.
Yeah, we're the Republicans. We won this thing. We've been winning for 30 years. We should decide what legislation advances out of committee onto the floor. Mm. So that was one of the big sticking points, and it was our first question for State Rep. Gene Wu from Houston.
I think we have a speaker now who understands that sometimes the best person for a committee may not be a Republican, but might be a Democrat. And they're going to see who is the best for the job before they determine, well, you're disqualified by the letter behind your name.
Did, right? Did the speaker offer this to you guys?
No. The thing, I think what we had talked about is that we should not close ourselves to the idea that Democrats are just a part of the process. And if we need a Democrat as a chair for a committee, then we should do it, right? Burroughs, in our discussions, never said no to Democratic chairmanship.
Why did you guys decide to back Burroughs over David Cook?
I think for the first time, well, in my political life, we have a very black and white choice. You have Cook, who's a very nice man, but the people around him and the policy that he's pushing basically says that half of Texans just will not have representation, that their members won't get to do anything, they won't be able to pass any bills, they won't, basically having no voice.
Did David Cook say you're not going to get certain things in your
Absolutely.
Negotiations? Well, what did he say that the Democrats wouldn't get?
Well, I mean, not the least of all, but he signed a pledge. He signed a public pledge that he would not pass a single Democratic bill until every single Republican priority was passed, which means essentially in our language, you will never pass a bill.
Wow. One person said that this floor fight for Speaker made the House weaker politically. Do you think it did?
No, I think complete opposite. I think what the Texans should see is you finally now have a body of people who is standing up to money, who is standing up to the billionaires, who is standing up to the bullying, who is standing up to the outside, out-of-state influences that trying to tell us what we need instead of us telling what we need. And that's what this fight was about. This is about a group of Republicans who said, we're sick of it. We're sick of being told by out-of-state billionaires what to do. We're being sick of being told that we have to do this because blah, 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 blah. I know what our people need. Let's just go do those things. And we say, look, we agree. Our people need those same things. Why don't we just work on those? I have this proposal. Like, look, we're here 5 times a decade. How about one of those 5 times we actually do the things that Texans need us to do and fix the things that Texans need us to fix? The other 4 times, sure, pass whatever nonsense bill you want, right? But 1 time out of a decade, let's fix things.
Does Dustin Burroughs, do you think, stand up like Nate Phelan did to school choice?
I don't think it's necessarily even needed that he stands up to it. It's more important that the House stands up to it. Because again, we're talking about things that the public, that we say, like, we should work on the things that, like, everybody agrees to. We should work on the things that, like, 70, 80% of Texans agree we should work on and fix. And I have not heard anybody in my community say, well, if you give $8,000 to wealthy families who already have children in private schools that costs $40, $50 a year, that helps them. That's something that they want, that's something that they need, that's something that moves them forward, that's something that helps working class families. When I hear that from my people, we'll talk. But until that day happens, the vast majority of Texans have said no to vouchers because giving the wealthy more money, giving the wealthy our money, doesn't help anyone.
There are more votes, though, right now for school vouchers than there were last session. The Attorney General, the governor successfully primaried Republicans and got new faces in there, though. Are we closer to school vouchers than ever before? Do you think school vouchers are a likelihood this session?
I think that the Republicans, well, not the Republicans, I think that the people who are pushing vouchers can't count. And here's why I say that. Because, look, on the anti-voucher side, I don't even say Democratic side, because this is a bipartisan agreement. This is a bipartisan coalition of people who oppose vouchers. On the anti-voucher side, we oppose vouchers, period. But on the pro-voucher side, tell me what the plan is. What kind of voucher program are we going to do? What kind of voucher program is acceptable? I'm sure there's lots of people on that side who say we support vouchers, but some of them might say, well, we only support a very small voucher program. But that does not give money to people who already have kids in private school. But other people in the segment, no, we want a massive voucher program, $3-4 billion, and we're going to give it all. And if there are people who already have kids in private school, we don't care. Well, that block may not agree to that, right? And so before people say we can pass vouchers, tell me what you're going to pass. Show us the bill. And to this day, they have not filed a bill, and they have not filed the bill for a reason. Because the moment they do, their coalition is going to start breaking apart.
Gene, how did Democrats exert any influence right now? You have less members than you did last session. You're a new leader, though. What should we be watching for?
Democrats have been out of power in the state for almost 30 years. Republicans have had an iron grip on this state for 30 years. Yet we still face the exact same problems that we have faced for 30 years. What Democrats will do is what Democrats have always done. That we will get up there and be the conscience of the state, saying, how does banning books improve my wages? How does banning drag shows increase my income? How does doing all these things lower the cost of food, lower the cost of housing, help me have reliable power? And one of the big issues that we all have discussed recently, water. This is going to be the next massive crisis, and we have to address it before it becomes the next massive crisis. And we will never touch those things as long as we're focused on the nonsense.
Why do you think that Dustin Burroughs would appoint Democrats as chairs? His political life could be on the line by doing that.
I think the best way I can explain it is, as sick and as tired as Democrats are of the bickering, of the backstabbing, of slashing at each other at every opportunity, they're sick of it too. Republicans are sick of it. And there's a big block of Republicans who just say, like, we just want to fix the things that people want fixed. And I think he sees that. And I think he sees that simply saying, we're blocking you out because of the letter behind your name is not only unfair, but you have basically knocked out half your team. You need everyone, because everyone here has different levels of expertise in different areas, and we want everyone to be able to excel and to, I mean, Texans demand. Texans demand that we should have our best people working on each issue. The person who is best at working on water should work on water. The person who knows most about power should work on electricity, and so on and so forth. That may not always be a Republican.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, y'all. Want to see the Jasons Talk Politics? Download the WFAA Plus streaming app for your smart TV and watch the latest episode of Y'allitics